Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about galactorrhea. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/galactorrhea or in the breast surgery section of the Zero to Finals surgery book. So let's get straight into it. Galactorrhea refers to breast milk production that's not associated with pregnancy or breastfeeding. Breast milk is produced in response to the hormone prolactin. Prolactin is produced in the anterior pituitary gland, and it's also produced in other organs in smaller amounts, such as the breast and the prostate. Prolactin also regulates aspects of immune function and metabolism. Dopamine blocks the secretion of prolactin. Therefore, dopamine antagonists, or medications that block dopamine, for example, antipsychotic medications, can result in raised prolactin and galactorrhea. Dopamine agonists, or medications that stimulate dopamine receptors, for example, bromocriptine or carbogaline, can be used to suppress prolactin secretion. So they can be used in the treatment of a raised prolactin. Let's talk about pregnancy and breastfeeding. Milk production may start in small amounts during the second or the third trimester of pregnancy, and leaking of breast milk can occur during that time. Estrogen and progesterone inhibit the secretion of prolactin. In pregnancy, higher levels of estrogen and progesterone inhibit the breast milk production. A hormone called oxytocin stimulates breast milk excretion. The full production of breast milk starts shortly after birth because around this time there's a large amount of oxytocin that's released and also a rapid drop in the estrogen and the progesterone levels. Breast milk production will taper off and stop after breastfeeding stops. Next, let's talk about hyperprolactinemia, or a raised prolactin level. Galactorrhea is usually associated with a raised prolactin level, or hyperprolactinemia. There's a long list of causes of hyperprolactinemia, or a raised prolactin level, but the key causes to remember are idiopathic, where no cause can be found, prolactinomas, which are hormone-secreting pituitary tumours, endocrine disorders, particularly hypothyroidism or an underactive thyroid gland, and also polycystic ovarian syndrome, and medications, particularly dopamine antagonists, for example, antipsychotic medications. Prolactin suppresses gonadotropin-releasing hormone, or GnRH, which is secreted by the hypothalamus. And this leads to reduced levels of LH and FSH. Therefore, hyperprolactinemia can also present with menstrual irregularities, particularly amenorrhea or absent periods, reduced libido or a low sex drive, erectile dysfunction in men, and gynecomastia in men. Let's talk in more detail about prolactinomas. And prolactinomas are tumours of the pituitary gland that secrete excessive prolactin. Prolactinomas may be associated with multiple endocrine neoplasia type 2, which is an autosomal dominant genetic condition. Prolactinomas can be microprolactinomas, which are smaller than 10 millimetres in size, and macroprolactinomas, which are larger than 10 millimetres in size. Macroadenomas, or larger tumours of the pituitary gland, can have adverse effects relating to their size, including headaches and a specific visual field defect called bitemporal hemianopia, where there's a loss of the outer half of the visual fields in both eyes. It's worth understanding bitemporal hemianopia in more detail. The optic chiasm sits just above the pituitary gland. The optic chiasm is the point where the optic nerves coming from the eyes cross over to different sides of the head. Only the nerve fibres containing signals from the outer visual fields cross over, whereas the fibres that contain the inner visual fields continue on the same side, so they don't cross over at the optic chiasm. A pituitary tumour that's big enough will start to press on the optic chiasm, where the nerve fibres containing the outer visual fields cross over. Interrupting these nerve signals which can lead to visual field defects that involve loss of vision of the outer visual fields in both eyes, whereas the inner visual fields are spared. And this is called a bitemporal hemianopia. A Tom tip for you, it's worth properly understanding and remembering bitemporal hemianopia, as it's commonly tested in exams. If you find it a bit confusing, there's a Zero to Finals YouTube video explaining this in detail. Remember to examine the visual fields in any patient who has symptoms that may be related to a pituitary tumour, particularly patients with hyperprolactinemia or symptoms of acromegaly. Next, let's briefly talk about non-milk discharge from the nipples. And there's several conditions that can cause nipple discharge that's not breast milk. And these include mammary duct ectasia, duct papillomas, and pus from a breast abscess. Let's talk about the investigations for galactorrhea. A pregnancy test is essential in women of childbearing age who are presenting with breast milk production to exclude pregnancy. Blood tests include a serum prolactin level, renal profile or eugenes, liver function tests, and thyroid function tests. An MRI scan of the brain is the investigation of choice for diagnosing pituitary tumours. Finally, let's talk about management. Management of galactorrhea will be targeted at the underlying cause. Dopamine agonists, for example, bromocriptine or carbogeline, can be used to treat the symptoms of hyperprolactinemia. And they work by blocking prolactin secretion, and this will lead to an improvement in symptoms. Transsphenoidal surgical removal of the pituitary tumour is the definitive treatment of hyperprolactinemia that's secondary to a prolactinoma. The pituitary gland and the tumour are accessed and removed through the nose and the sphenoid bone. So thanks for listening to this episode on galactorrhea. As always, a big thank you to Harry for perfectly editing the podcast. And I hope you join us for the next episode where we'll talk about mammary duct ectasia.